thank you for joining us this evening. My name is Lynn B.
And I'm Curtis B.
And we are United in Thought. Please continue to join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for new podcasts.
And come on, guys. You know what to do. Please go to YouTube. Please support us there. We also have our IG page, The Shoppable. And if you like to shop with us, please do. And if you don't, we appreciate your traffic anyway. Remember, we're on all facets of social media. And so I'm going to jump straight into the question of the day. Now, the question of the day is, do you think black people are more woke now than any other time before? I'm going to tell you that I believe that answer is a yes coming from me, because we recognize now the atrocities that's happening to us, the atrocities that's still happening to this very day. We recognize that slavery and Jim Crow still plays a significant part in the conditions that we're in to this very day. I think a lot of us have woken up to this ADOS movement, which I love. Yes, I think you see a stream of woke black people. And simply by looking at Twitter, Facebook, and many other social media platforms.
Now, this is your girl, Lynn B, and I would say that as far as woke, first of all, depending on what you define as woke, if you're just talking about aware of your surroundings, what's going on, the atrocities being committed against you, then my answer would be, I would say they are the same amount of woke as they were during the civil rights movement. I believe, like I said, during the civil rights movement, that a lot of black people got sick and tired of being sick and tired and decided to do something about it. Now, after that came a lot of complacency and a lot of, it's not as bad as it was, so we can deal with it, things of that nature or whatever. And now, well, really, now I don't even think we're as woke as we were during the civil rights movement, because their amount of so-called wokeness was, we see what's going on, let's do something about it. There were more people in line to join hands and do something about it. Now you have people who are aware of what's going on, and plenty of people are aware of what's going on. Not so many people are willing to put their boots on the ground yet. It's happening, but not nearly as many as it was during the civil rights movement. And believe me, you don't have to agree with every single movement or whatever. Like I said, I agree with ADOS as a term for reparations. Other than that, I think it's very divisive. So when you have like the Black Panthers, you had Martin Luther King, you had Malcolm X, several different black leaders out there that had different views but all saw the same problem, they still united to put pressure. There are not enough people uniting to put pressure. People recognize, but not enough people uniting to put pressure versus their different beliefs.
That sums it up. Here's the thing. There's nothing at all divisive about ADOS. Me and Lynn B, we definitely 100% disagree with that. ADOS is moving us forward. And it's ADOS forever with me. Yes, I believe that I use it more so on the terms of reparations, more on the terms of identity. But there's nothing divisive about this movement. You have those. What's happening is, what you're seeing is, those are there are a segment of people that are being called out. And this is something that should have happened a very long time ago. And but as far as the movement being divisive, there's nothing divisive about the movement at whatsoever.
Like Curtis B. said, that's a total difference of opinion. I have a broader view as far as we are not the minority. We are the majority in as far as what the oppressors call black people. So if we were all to come together, despite what you believe, what you are, this and that or whatever, it would make a much bigger impact. So my views would lean more towards Pan-Africanism, I would say. But again, I have my own my own thought process, almost like with, political parties and things of that nature. I think what suits me. I don't feel like I need a label to define my thoughts. I can clearly tell you my thoughts, but I don't believe that I need a label. ADOS is good for me in the form of deciding who needs to be paid reparations. Other than that, it's almost like religions and things of that nature. If you're all using the same book, what's all the different labels in crap or whatever? It's all divisive to me. When to me, as a bigger group, you can make a larger impact on if the oppressor is categorizing you all as one thing.
I get what you're saying. You know, I understand that. But, you know, we have been celebrating Pan-Africanism for over 100 years. And the only thing that's gotten us is immigrants that are flooding our country at an alarming rates. And look, when I say, here's what I mean. You have immigrants that are coming here and are disrespecting foundational Black Americans in many ways. A lot of them get here and they jump team white supremacy. Okay? That's a problem for ADOS. That's a problem. Because if you're jumping team white supremacy, then you're definitely not with us. But here's the problem with that. You know, you have a influx of African immigrants that come here. This is not putting down Africans, but you have an influx of African immigrants that come here. But when they come here, we already know what we've talked about on other shows about the vetting process and what they tell them and how to deal with us. But, you know, they read into that, they go totally off that, and they believe the hype and basically throw us in the box as those in the dominant society do. You know, Black people have done way too much in order for them to even get here. And then when you get here, you disrespect FBA. I don't understand that. I don't understand that whatsoever. Call us a cotta, call us nigger, and everything else. So, you know, Black people are the reason why you are here. That 1964 Civil Rights Act is why you are here.
Exactly, which had nothing to do with
pain. And the thing of it is, remember that. Remember, we are why you are here. Our ancestors and the people that came before us, we are the reason why you're here. And never, never forget that. Don't you ever forget it. So don't come into this country disrespecting FBA. No, that won't be permitted. We will not have that. And that's a good part of the reason why we have ADOS as an identity. So,
like I said, Pan-Africanism had nothing to do with
never moved Black people forward.
Influx of immigrants. You said, because of embracing Pan-Africanism, we have an influx of immigrants. That's
No. I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
No, but it's not.
Okay. No, I didn't. I said we've noticed an influx of African immigrants.
That didn't have anything to do with Pan-Africanism, though.
Well, here's the thing. I'll address that. Sorry about those that are listening. I'll address that. Pan-Africanism has never pushed black people forward. It's never pushed us forward. ADOS is pushing us forward. ADOS is pushing us forward to our 40 acres and a mule, something that should have been paid a long damn time ago. Let me tell you this. The idea of reparations being paid was never on the table before until ADOS got this started. Okay, remember that. This would not be on the table had it not been the push that ADOS has had, because of the foot that ADOS has kept on those in power. We've kept our foot on their neck, and we're just asking for our check.
And I agree with that as far as reparations.
And has never done that for us. Never.
I agree with that also. But again, everything that oppresses you is not about reparations. So again, ADOS is, like I said, good for reparations and identifying who gets reparations. But that's not the extent of what is oppressing us.
It's good for politics. Because the politics,
ADOS politics, is better
is
to
what's
going to
help us get out of the mess that we are in. ADOS politics is also another way that we're going to close the wealth gap that's going on. So, you know,
that
it's pushing
reparations. Like I said, good for reparations.
It's pushing us forward. Something that Pan-Africanism has never done. Pan-Africanism, it would never get this far. Never.
Okay.
So ADOS is the reason why reparations is on the table right now.
And because of the great work. Then, did they include them during civil rights? That would be a form of Pan-Africanism. I said people who were here during the time of civil rights, because there were immigrants here at that time also, were included in that group. So what I'm saying is, so they had their boots on the ground at that time also, which would be a form of Pan-Africanism. And there was no such thing as ADOS as a group at that time.
At that time, no. But we're here now. So that's what's important.
But you said Pan-Africanism has never gotten us anywhere. That's what you said. So that technically wouldn't be true to me.
Well, either way, we're coming for that check, and we're going to get that check.
Okay, so again, reparations. But now, that's as far as anything else, like I said, my view is that it's divisive. And then when you speak on...
What makes it divisive? Let me finish this statement first.
So then when you speak on, you know, immigrants coming over here and siding with white supremacy...
You know,
yep, there are. I mean, first of all, there are some who do and some who don't. So I'm not going to put everybody in a box we're used to. Okay, hold on. Let me finish, though. So like I said, I'm not going to put everybody in a box. There are some who do and some who don't. But there are plenty of ADOS, FBA people who do the same thing that you call out as coons all the time on this show. So to me, again, no difference.
Well, I'll leave it at that. But either way, we coming for that check. So, we're going to jump straight into the topic of the day.
And our topic of the day is, are black people looking for hand up or handout? Now, I will tell you one of the ways is this, that this topic came up for discussion. Sitting around with some family from out of town. And some older, some much older elders, you could say. Some just a tad bit older than our age group and such, okay? So now, the conversation came up first just about reparations, then about our young black men, things of that nature. Now, the elders' opinion was more on the lines of, our people are looking for a handout.
Which is bullshit.
Now, it wasn't so much technically on the reparations point of view. I don't know too many. Well, I do know some, but I don't know a lot of black people who aren't on board for reparations. Okay? So the elders' point of view wasn't that, no, we're not doing anything. Just the fact of black people use it as an excuse to where they don't feel like they should have to do anything. They're more waiting for a handout. Now, it was mixed between the second group of people who were, I don't even know what generation they're called or whatever, baby boomers, probably.
Baby boomers, okay.
Okay, so the generation of baby boomers had a mixed view as far as they see it more 50-50. They see it more so with the millennials or younger people that, yeah, they're looking for a handout, but people baby boomer age and older are looking for just that hand up because they came up more in that area. I mean, in that era. So I'm going to give you a little bit about my view, and I really want you guys to comment and think about this and tell me what you think from what you see in your surrounding communities. You know, we speak a lot about our underserved communities and just the black man all over this country, the black man and woman all over this country, okay?
Right.
So now we, myself and Curtis B, work in an underserved community. And when I see the people there, those are some of the biggest hustlers.
Right.
That I have come in contact with. In the suburbs where we live, I could say, not all of them, but I would say, they fall more in the, some of them would fall more in the handout crowd as far as the younger ones. Definitely not anyone too much our age or older, but our generation's kids. What generation are we, Curtis B?
We're Generation X.
Okay, so Generation Xers, kids and younger, to me, can have that handout mindset. And again, though, but in the underserved communities, Generation Xers kids don't really have that mindset so much. Still, the biggest hustlers, whether it be they're trying to open up their own business, whether it be they're out here trying to hustle and there may be some illegal activity going on until they can make enough to get their own and things of that nature. So from my point of view, I would say most black people, whether you be in the suburbs or underserved areas, from a certain age point, Generation X especially and up, are looking for that hand up. That hand up, as Curtis B spoke on earlier, closing that wealth gap to stop being oppressed and for blacks to help each other and unite.
Correct.
Not a handout.
Right.
A handout is the mindset of complacency that I believe that we fell into as a people after the civil rights movement. Again, as I spoke on earlier, saying, oh, things aren't that bad. They keep giving a little. They sprinkle the crumbs. We're okay with the crumbs. That's more of a handout type of mindset to me. And in that aspect, it's more present to me. Where I've seen that is in the suburbs and suburban kids who are black, as far as they're used to having, you know, they're not all of them are so used to working so hard for something or feel the effects of struggle.
Right.
So they can kind of fall into that mindset, but it's very important that we reach those black young men and women and let them know what's going on, that the struggle's still real. See, they don't feel the struggle every day, or they're not noticing that they're feeling the struggle every day.
Right.
They're not necessarily noticing the wealth gap as much as someone else in an underserved community might be.
Exactly.
So I think that's why they kind of fall into that, you know, mindset some. It's just, I think, a lack of knowledge and a lack of, you know, being aware or being woke, as we spoke about earlier, because life is that they are young, you know, or whatever. Life is happening. A lot of new things going on. You might be in college. You might be hopefully starting your own little business, a startup or something like that or whatever. A lot of things are going on, and they still know they can go get mom and dad have free cars we can choose from. Or whatever, if I need a car, oh, I can live with my mom and dad. That's not a problem. I ain't got to pay nothing. Well, I figure out what business I want to get into, this or that or whatever. I'm still having 8 meals a day plus snacks if I want it. I still got all my game systems in here. Yeah, they told me I have to be in the basement and my friends have to leave at 12, but everything's still on the up and up. They're not experiencing no struggle. They're pissed off because I can't smoke weed in the house.
Right.
Or because my girlfriend can't spend the night or my boyfriend can't spend the night or something like that. Totally different type of struggles, you know.
That's not a struggle.
That's youth struggles, is what I'm saying.
Right.
That's a certain type of youth struggle. You know, oh, it's school shopping time. Normally I get 3 pairs of Jordans. This time I can only get 2. I'm pissed. You know, or something like that. A different type of struggle. It's like Curtis B said, if you want to call it a struggle, but all in youth. So when you're in that suburban type lifestyle and your parents have accomplished that, which is still poverty most of the time, but your parents have accomplished that, you're not feeling it as much. So you're not as quick to notice or want to make that change, and you're more used to a giving type attitude. You're probably surrounded by a lot of liberals who want to reach out that helping hand to you.
Of course,
and think, oh, you can do it, young black man, fly. You can do it, young black lady.
Yeah, but
whatever. So you're probably surrounded by that. So you're really not too much understanding yet until you really get your feet out there and get wet and, you know, really feel like it's outside of mom and dad's security.
Well, let me ask you this. When you said the handout, who were you speaking of? Were you speaking about suburban kids as far as the liberal? Or were you...
I was speaking on our black youth, and more so the black suburban youth can fall into that mindset.
Because I'm going to say, you know, there are liberals in the suburbs, but, you know, most suburbs are kind of right-wing, just ask.
Okay. What do you think about that, Curtis B?
Well, look, you know, here's what I think. I think that Lynn B brought up a very good point. You have to understand that there's a vast difference between a child that's in the hood and then a child that's in the suburbs. It's just like Lynn B said, the struggles are nowhere near the same. As a matter of fact, with the child that's in the suburbs, it's not so much of a struggle. It's kind of examples of what she gave about, you know, this time I usually get about 3 or 4 pairs of Jordans. Well, this time I can only get about 2 or 3. So, you know, but we have to understand that these are the effects of black flight from the hood. Because, you know, you have some children that were just born in the suburbs. You know, our children were born in the suburbs. You know, but at the same time, black flight has done a lot of that. Now, your striving life is to always take your children away from any type of struggle or, you know, divert them away from a struggle.
But life better than, yes.
Right. But at the same time, I agree with Lynn B that, suburban kids don't have that hustle type of mentality. They don't because they don't have to work for much. They don't have to work as much versus a child that's in the hood. And let's just say it's a boy and he's older and he has younger siblings that's right up under him. And the conditions with the parents may not be that great. The father's not here. The mother is just pretty much used to just doing nothing, not working, running up behind some man. We see and hear these type of stories all the time. So what happens is the older male, or it could be a female. Well, the struggle is real for him. So he's going to do every single thing that he possibly can to make sure that his brother and sisters do not go without anything. He's going to go out there, and unfortunately, some of us take the role of selling dope. Or we have to understand, there's two type of kids in the hood, okay? There's two type of kids. You'll have that one that sees that the struggle's real, and he may hit the block, he may sell a little dope. Then you have the other kid that's in the hood. And yes, nerds are in the hood, or what you would deem a nerd. They're there too. This one will end up getting about 2 or 3 jobs. He'll do whatever he or she has to do. And they'll do whatever they have to do to get themselves in school and do everything to obtain this American dream that they say is so just reachable for you to get. So, you know, black flight, I do kind of blame for there being less of a struggle in the suburban kids, because you have suburban kids that were taken out of the hood and put into the suburbs. So, you know, their struggle is not nowhere near as real as a child in the hood.
Now, I will speak from my own experience. As, you know, I've said plenty of times before, born on a military base, spent a lot of time there, and then just from suburb to suburb. Now, as far as struggle, until I actually got out here and got in this adult world, did I really start to know what struggle was. I didn't have not a worry, not a struggle, not a miss this, miss that, anything I wanted to do, anything I thought I may want to have, I had. That was, you know, never an issue. My dad was more so on teaching discipline, self-worth, things of that nature. But what I will say that he left out, and I'm not sure why a lot of parents from that baby boomer generation did it. They experienced, a lot of them, horrific struggle, especially depending on their age. They
and racism.
Were part of that, you know, civil rights movement and things of that. But I don't think a lot of them fully ingrained in us what we just missed.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was like, wow, you know, like, thank God I missed that, you know, or whatever. Let me, you know, stay on my toes for this and that or whatever. No, it was more so I learned more about the civil rights movement from the pathetic thing they want to call history in school.
Right.
Than I did from my parents. That made me come and ask questions. You know, and as I got older, asking different questions and seeking out knowledge for myself. But I really didn't get the extent of what it was like. Or, you know, like my dad never explained to me what a sundown town was.
Right.
How he was right next to me. How you do not go here. You know, things that I didn't know any of that. Those are things I had to ask and find out for myself. Now, my mom would talk more about her life, you know, about only being able to go to school half the year and things of that nature or whatever, but still not a very deep effect. It was just like, oh, you know, where'd you guys live? Stuff like this. Oh, we were sharecroppers, you know, things and stuff like that or whatever, but never just ingraining it into me of, wow, look what we just worked for, how we came together, and what you just missed and what you gained because of us coming together. I think that's another reason for all the dissension. Some people who have not taken the time to research feel like things are just going to fall in their lap, like that handout type of, you know, mentality. And I just think that's so much more prevalent in suburban raised children.
Yeah.
Because you feel like, oh, if I make enough noise or something like that, I don't really have to put any work in or whatever. Just like, it's almost like going to your parent. They treat the government like mommy and daddy or right, whatever. Right, you know, right. If I make enough noise or I whine enough, then they'll give me something. Almost like you do with your, you know, parents. If, you know, if I go make enough noise about I really want this shoe or I really want this or whatever, I really want to have a sleepover this weekend, eventually you'll probably get it some type of way. But is it going to kill you if you don't get it? No. Is it even going to bother you that much? No, not necessarily, because you're still okay.
Right, right.
And I kind of think that's the main standout difference of why they can fall into that handout category. But we really need to, like I said, educate. I think educate is one of the biggest shortfalls that we have to overcome. Everyone getting on the same page and actually knowing that you're being oppressed. What's oppressing you? How to stop that oppression? What you just missed before the civil rights era, you know?
Right.
What exactly was, yeah. What exactly was, you know, going on? How you don't want to go back to that? What does it mean when Trump says, make America great again? You know, things of that nature. What is he actually talking about? How many kids can you approach on the street who actually know when he says, make America great again, necessarily what that meant for Black people can actually feel that? I talked to their, you know, family and things about exactly what that was that they were going through.
Right.
How many have went over the cases that we go over of George Steine, you know, the Scottsboro boys, things of that nature. How many kids know those cases
and they don't
and know what was going on? They do not know it and know what it could be like for them if they do not join together and walk together and defeat this bullshit that's going on.
Right. Now, I will say this. You know what's sad is there are a lot of older people that don't know those stories as well. And a lot of them are part of the baby boomer generation. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't know the stories of the Scottsboro boys. They don't know the story of George Steine. No, they don't know these stories because even with their parents, they should have been teaching them, you know. And look, check this out. Before I go any further, guys, remember, please support Black Media. We just ask that you do that at the sum of $2 to $5. Just a snack at the gas station or a cup of coffee. So, I'll continue. Now, I guess that you can blame them. Their parents should have been teaching them teaching them about those atrocities. They should have been letting them read the papers. They should have, you know, in any type of media to, you know, to let them know and make them aware of the time that they were living in and what exactly was, you know, what was going on. So, you know, but look, we're not knocking all suburban kids.
No.
I do not in no way think that all suburban kids are the same as far as saying,
not at all.
Saying that because you have some struggles in the suburbs. Please do not think you don't. You have struggles here too. You have people here that need resources too.
It just takes longer to see them most of the time. But
exactly.
Yeah, you do have them.
But for the most part, you know, most people aren't helping them. But at the same time, as I say, I'll just go back to what I said earlier in the program. I think Black Flight is a big reason why, you know, the struggle is not as real. I mean, the hustle is not as real as it is with the kid that's in the hood. Because the two examples that I gave, the one that's selling dope and the one that's going to go and grab those two or three jobs just to support and just to bring food into the home. That's a struggle. That's a struggle. That's a struggle beyond a struggle. It's a struggle that a young child should not have to deal with. But at the end of the day, I think more Black people, especially now, are looking for a hand up and not something, you know, your freebies. We don't need that. because I said this in other shows, the hood needs resources and not toys.
And I would say that much more adult black people that I have encountered are definitely looking for a hand up and not a handout. Like I said, we still got a lot of work to do with our youth and bridging that gap between what they see them zoning, bullying, all that type of stuff. And Curtis B has a wonderful presentation for us coming up, you know, on bullying that I'll also be a part of.
Yes, please.
But a wonderful presentation coming up on that. But just getting past, you know, wanting to down your brother or sister because they may have less than, you know, and things of that nature. We definitely have to educate and unite our youth. They are our future. It's very important that they know what's going on out here. And us as parents, that's our burden to carry, because these schools out here are not going to do it for us.
No, no, they're not. No, they are not. And I always say, you know, we have to, as black people, get away from this savior mentality, thinking that there's going to be some white savior that's going to come in and save the day. And no, that's just not going to happen. Here's the thing. If you want the day saved, you save it. You get yourself in line and set yourself up and your family to save the day for you, but not only just you and yours or whatever, for others too. We have to do everything we can to give back. We do. We have to do everything we can to give back and to help. Because it's no good for any of us just to sit around and say, you know, complain, well, I want this to happen, or I wish this would happen. No, sometimes we have to get out and put our own boots on the ground to make it happen for our own, our family, as well as our youth and us.
And Curtis B said just what I was going to say. Let's make a hashtag happen, boots on the ground. Please take a picture of yourself or something going on in your neighborhood, something that's moving us forward, some way you're actually putting your boots on the ground.
Yes.
To help the movement. Whether it be you have a podcast also, whether it be you have a 501c3, whether it be you just went and checked on your elderly neighbor next door and you cut her grass for her because she didn't have anyone else there, or something like that. Let's make this happen in the black community, showing black people putting their boots on the ground, helping each other, giving each other that hand up that we need.
Yeah, and definitely make this a hashtag. For anyone that's listening, definitely make this a hashtag. And hey, remember, you can always email us at unitedincold@gmail.com. If you have any pictures or any pictures or any display of you, yourself, putting boots on the ground and getting back and helping, or others, if you see these pictures, please snap them and send them to us. Please do. We hope and pray to God at least one of you do. You know, this is what we love. We do the work. We're like, as Lane B said before, we're in the hood every single day. And we're doing everything we can to connect school and community, as well as community and school. A lot of this behaviors start at home. We have to do everything we can to be better parents, better husbands, better wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever. We just have to be better for each other. You know, we have to do everything we can to push for reparations. We have to do everything we can to close this wealth gap. And that's what ADOS is about. That's what it's about. Hey, look, whether or not you agree with Yvette Carnell or Toni Moore or Sandy Darity, any of the great starters of this movement, whether you agree with them or not, we all as black people want the same thing. I think we all do. It's just we have different paths on how to get there. You have Boyce and his following. You have Tariq and his following. You have ADOS and our following. You know, so, and many other groups. Many others. Hell, Umar Johnson. Hell, some of you out there might follow him. You know, I won't ever get on and just bash anyone, but Umar is a special case for me. He's a special case. You know, I would have loved to see brother fulfill what he said he was going to fulfill, but you can't get mad when no one is seeing any type of receipts. You can say that you bought a school and you can film it all day, but people just want to know where the money is going. People want to see results. So like I said, you know, but I'm not going to bash anymore. I just hope that he makes good with what he's going to.
I just have one more comment as far as Curtis B saying, naming the people that have their different points of view. And he named ADOS is our point of view. I would say United in Thought is my point of view.
Well, of course. Well, no. Of course.
And our following.
Right.
So,
right.
Know,
right.
I'm
right.
Leave it right.
No,
there.
I was leaving. No, no, no. What I was saying was I was just giving examples. And of course, yes, it's about United in Thought over anything. So of course, 100%. I mean that. So yeah, that was a good catch. That's something that I should have put first. So, but yes, definitely. But that was on the lines of just giving examples, you know, of different followers, you know, of different people. So, you know, that's pretty much it. And so, look, guys, remember, email us at unitedandco@gmail.com and make this a hashtag, Boots on the Ground. That's our challenge to you, Boots on the Ground. Make it a hashtag. And hey, also, too, I want you to go over to the Twitter of Friends of the City. I want you to go over there, support it. It is a great movement going on. There's a GoFundMe set up. Please go over there and support, because Friends of the City is basically, it is a movement. It is a it's partnered with a non-profit that's serving the community. It's serving the community, and that's about doing everything we can to provide resources, after school programs for children, feeding your children. So please go over there and support. There's a GoFundMe set up, and we want to reach the goal of that $14,000. So I am Curtis B.
And I'm Lynn B.
And we are United in Thought. Gotta go, guys. Please see you.